stay tuned for more news you can use on PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
Day by day, my life gets colder. My eyes go thin as I get older. Piece in pieces, bloody and bruised. I feel so helpless and confused. 'Cause I hear screaming on the left, yelling on the right. I'm sitting in the middle trying to live my life. 'Cause I can't stop the warmth, the shelter, homeless, feed the poor.
Good afternoon. This is Evelyn Pringle. Welcome to Focus on the Facts. To start the show, I want to mention the various methods of genocide taking place in the U.S., and today we'll be discussing all of those on the show. The first method is geoengineering or chemtrails, followed by forced vaccination of children with vaccines that include mercury, aluminum, formaldehyde, and tissue from aborted babies. Another method of genocide is the prescribing of mind and body damaging drugs to people of all ages, and the medical care given in the U.S. that causes diseases but does not cure any diseases. We'll also discuss the toxic chemicals in the GMO foods sold in grocery stores in America and the poisoned drinking water all over the U.S. My guest today is Matt Landman, an expert on chemtrails and vaccines and GMOs, and he will discuss the harm caused to people and the earth by chemtrails and the damage caused by vaccines. Matt hosted the first annual Global Chemtrail Summit in May of this year in Vancouver, Canada, and he will also be hosting the second annual Chemtrail Summit in Portland, Oregon. Matt is producing and directing a feature film on chemtrails titled Franken Skies. So let's bring him on now and have him start by telling us a little bit about his new movie. Welcome, Matt.
Hi, Evelyn. Hello. Hi. How's it going? Can you hear me fine?
Yes, I can hear you. Sure. Let's start by telling us a little bit about your movie. You don't want to share too much, but give us some.
I want to share as much as possible. There's nothing to hold back really, and the time is now. I'm excited that the trailer, it will be coming out. I'm hopeful that it will be out by the end of August. So that's pretty soon. Okay, and the trailer will give an outline, like in a kind of a, you know, obviously a bullet point format of what the film's going to be like. And what the film outlines is the global warming hoax pushed on by Al Gore and even paid off our Greenpeace through the guise of SRM, which is solar radiation management, which is something that we have been sold as a cure, a necessary evil to create a sunscreen blocking us from the sun, right? So that's going to be their excuse for the geoengineering, the chemtrails. It's called solar radiation management. So definitely going to expose that in the film Franken Skies. But also interviewing people that are involved and eyewitnesses, getting different takes on it, and actually being able to hit demographics across the spectrum so that any viewer from any walk of life can liken themselves to one of the people on the screen and find the truth, which is all we really are looking for, is to expose the truth and bring some transparency to what I see as a rogue treasonous element in our government today.
Right. Well, that's for sure. And I've seen it, today I posted a video I posted a bunch of Matt's interviews and things on my Facebook page for anybody that wants to learn more about this issue. I found a video today of Al Gore on Ellen DeGeneres' show, and he admitted that, I can't remember what the date was on that, but he admitted that this geoengineering is going on, and he admitted how many pounds of chemicals and metals and stuff they're spraying into the sky.
Now, Evelyn, sorry to interrupt. It's funny that you mentioned that particular clip with Al Gore on the Ellen show, because I actually snagged a tiny bit of that in the preview, in the trailer for the film Frankenskies, because it's basically, in my eyes, catching them red-handed. They're basically telling us in plain sight what they're doing, and they claim that it's to block out the sun, but you know, the agenda is actually very, very complex. But yeah, like, I really like that one. Yeah, Al Gore goes on the Ellen show and says, yes, we need solar radiation management, and it's underway, I guess he says. What does he say there, Ellen?
I don't even remember. I put it on my Facebook page so people can listen to it. I don't have it up here, but I was really surprised. Do you know? Do you remember what year that was that he did that?
It was a handful of years ago now. I want to say upwards to five. And what he says is, it is a necessary evil that we, unfortunately, we need to lay out aluminum persistent linear cirrus clouds, man-made clouds, man-made out of aluminum, nanodust, particulates. He says this on the show. And what he's saying is, it's a necessary evil. Yeah, the plants are going to die, and yeah, there's going to be some animals dying, but we're saving ourselves, because we have to save ourselves. And it's kind of ridiculous, because once you unfold this onion and you get through all these complexities and get through the media brainwashing and the normalization of an ongoing crime against humanity, you actually see that they're trying to sell us the problem as the solution. They're trying to sell us the problem as a solution so they can keep their their game at play, really. I mean, imagine if you were in control and you were creating the problem and then able to sell everyone that problem as the solution. I mean, it's a diabolical, twisted, I mean, they're sociopaths, so it's like, it's kind of hard to see where they're coming from, but it's not very difficult to see where they're coming from, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, he says that there are 90 million tons of aerosol pollution being sprayed into our atmosphere every single day.
Wow. 90 million tons daily. Yeah, I'm sure that's probably even not as much as it is, because of all of the atmospheric dispersants over the Pacific alone. You can see it on the NASA website, even. It's absurd. There's even creation of massive Ware clouds, which are, I was going to say absurd, which are very curious. There's a lot of experimentation going on over the Pacific without our consent, with our taxpayer money.
Right, right. Well, yesterday here in Green Bay, my boyfriend came home and he said they were spraying so much, and he said how they had even made crosses, you know, in the sky and everything. So I went out there and looked, and I was so mad. I told him, I'm out there staring at this, and I said, what a horrible feeling to stand here knowing that they're killing us and watch it in the sky, and there were planes all over it by this time, and there's no way we can stop it. Well, I was so mad I came in and got all the addresses out from my lawmakers in the White House and stuff, and sent them emails to stop it, to stop spraying these chemtrails on us. And I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start doing it every day. I didn't mince any words. I wasn't rude. I just demanded that they stop this, spraying these chemtrails. But I'll make it a point to walk outside every day and see. And if it is, then I'll come in and write them again. So when is that that summit that in Seattle that you're going to be you're going to be hosting? Oh, Matt? What seems like I've lost Matt? Hello, Matt? Oh, okay. So anyways, this bit with this global engineering, I don't know how we're going to stop it, but Geoengineering Watch and a team of lawyers have put together some lawsuits, and they filed one in Canada, it's several months ago, against the government of Canada, and now they've just filed some legal notices in the United States, and they send them out to different governments and agencies, and they have, it's a 60-day notice that they're warning them, that they want them to stop this. They want them to stop this spraying, and they have 60 days to respond to this, and then after that, I guess they'll file the lawsuits against the government agencies and the different municipalities and the I don't know, the local governments. So I lost you for a bit, Matt. You're back?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I don't know what happened. And I'm kind of biting my tongue because I really want to speak to that, but at the same time, my stance on it is a little abrasive because I feel like this is an elitist, rogue, shadow element, okay? A rogue, treasonous element in our government, all right? A lot of these government officials don't even know that this is going on, and the people who sign the paychecks are signing these paychecks for top secret portions of the government, okay? These people are signing off on black ops projects, and this money trickles down to a treasonous rogue element that is in charge, a very elite, very small group of people, just like it's always been, are these people that are in charge, okay? And what we really, really need to do, And I applaud you for calling in, and I applaud anybody for getting the government involved. And eventually, there will be a trickle down, and there'll be a straw that broke the camel's back, hundredth monkey effect, where the politicians do get involved because there are some that are in the know, but their hands are tied right now. This is an elite global New World Order, okay? And what we really need to do is raise awareness amongst ourselves. We need so badly the strongest ripple effect that each person can put forth, if that makes sense. Everyone has
a
ripple.
Well, it does. If all citizens wrote their lawmakers every single day and their city council member in the White House, I think they'd get the message. I don't care who's running this show. Our government can stop it.
I think in your generation that was, I don't mean to be argumentative, and I'm kind of playing the devil's advocate. In your generation, you address the government, your political representative will actually do something and speak for you. But right now, we're at a point in history where the people need to be aware of what's going on. And I think that your show is so important and your voice is so important that it's more getting everyone on the same page, because we are a drastic minority right now. And that Go ahead.
Pardon?
Go ahead. Were you going to say something? I'm sorry.
No. Well, I was going to say, you know, I only learned about these chemtrails probably 10 months ago.
Right, exactly. So we need to keep waking everyone up and get everyone informed as to what the agenda is, and so that they know when they try to pull the wool over these people's eyes and push forward their dystopian agenda, their future, right, that we are in the know. And that we actually spread our knowledge and ripple it out throughout everyone enough so that we can have that hundredth monkey effect, so that we can ripple out into the entire planet and actually have enough people, you know? Because right now, I'll tell you what, like, people that know about chemtrails and are willing to be active about it are very few people. And people that actually know about chemtrails nationwide, it's a very small amount, and so we need to tell people to tell people to tell people and incentivize it and start nonprofits and make movies and do radio shows. And and all these things.
But, you know, they'll have
I've gone down the route of reaching out to the politicians, and I'm sorry, but it's a waste of time.
Well, it probably is, but if we got enough people and they write their lawmakers every day and they know this ain't going down, you keep it up, and in this time it will be that they won't get an office again. And the same should go. And the same should go for these lawmakers that are passing these mandated vaccines for kids in California. I don't know why they don't throw those lawmakers right out of office.
Evelyn, I maybe we should change the subject. But that's I think you're saying that your vote matters, and that writing in a letter to your congressman is going to do something, and it's not in this generation.
Your local lawmakers.
And I hate to do like that. Local officials
local
have nothing
lawmakers.
To do with this. This is a rogue element, a treasonous rogue element that has global ties. Okay, a lot of these planes aren't even from the United States. There's a global agenda. These are elitists. Okay, spending time writing letters to anybody who's going to get these letters is, I'm sorry, it's a waste of time. But we can move forward, and I'm really, really excited about the film. And I think stuff like this and getting the youth educated and, like, doing, anything to get the youth involved. I'm making bumper stickers. I'm passing out flyers and making a film. You know what I mean?
That's all good, but what do you tell them to do to stop it?
What do I tell them to do to stop it? Not write their lawmaker that telling them that their vote matters and stuff like that. We're in a totally new world where everything is pretty much
rigged. I'm not saying the vote matters for the federal elections. I'm not saying that. I'm saying for the local elections and our city council.
Well, those local people have nothing to do with these planes, with this global agenda.
Well,
you know, even if they're in the know, there's
people.
Nothing that they can do. Their hands are tied. But I think what you tell them to do is you tell them to share these awakened posts and share the knowledge with their friends and family, because if they are awake to it, they are the one of the only people that they know, unless they live in like the Pacific Northwest, where people are just really awake to it. But I'm telling you, like on the East Coast or where I grew up and stuff like that, if you're awake to chemtrails, you're the only person. And you should basically share that knowledge with people and push it 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 and push it. Because waking up your peers, the people that respect you and know you, is going to be how you create the domino effect and we reach the masses. You know, people thinking that they can't speak up and speak the truth, you know, that's and that they can, like, hide in their phone, you know what I mean? Like, people need to
What are you saying that we should be doing to stop it? And I'm talking about those of us that are awake.
Awakening people, grassroots.
Well, I'm doing
grassroots that. Grassroots thing. You need to be telling people, passing out flyers, handing out flyers. Helping me with my movie is way better time spent than writing a lawmaker, honest to God. I mean, like...
Well, I have to disagree. I'm sorry, but the local governments need to get involved.
You disagree? You think the local government... I don't know if you want to take this show this way, but you think that the local government has any play in this global elitist agenda? You think that even... I've spoken to local politicians and spent hours and hours and hours and had them on my side, and then I interviewed the former premier of British Columbia. Even he said his hands are tied. He got a word from his premier, basically, from Ottawa. They're D.C. And they say, yeah, we're doing it. It's research. But not much you can do. But, I mean, it's a global agenda. It's global elitist. So what we need to do is awaken everyone to it so that they know what's going on. Okay? Like, everyone needs to know. Like, the politicians, they can't do anything. And, you know, what are you going to do? Like, you know, I'm sorry, in your generation, yeah, the politicians, you go, you speak to them, they represent you. But right now, 99% of them, they're a stack of cash away from whatever you want them to be.
So you're telling me there is nothing any citizen can do. There's nobody to contact, nothing. We can just wake people up, but that's it. We can't do anything about this.
I think they can wake people up and try to find their cousin or someone who's in the military, find out who's loading it on these planes. There's a lot of people that are involved there. And once you wake someone up, that's someone's brother, sister's, uncle, cousin's best friend. And they're like, yeah, actually, I load them on the planes. They tell me it's for solar radiation management. Haven't you seen Al Gore on the Ellen Show? We're saving the humans, but we're killing everything else. And you're like, actually, no. Let me educate you on this. And you actually get to that person because you've spread the truth so widespread that somebody out there is able to be that whistleblower kind of person. You know what I mean? And then we start having some concrete things in a movement, because right now we're at the very, very edge of a movement. Like the chemtrail thing, they have done so well to manipulate people via media, via all sorts of... If you look through Vice magazine, the BBC, The Economist, okay, all these publications, New York Times, Washington,
I know that, right?
Okay, PBS, all these people are already preemptively normalizing it and saying that it is not, there's nothing to see here. Move on, okay? So you've got probably like a very, very small. I mean, it's way less than 10%. I wish it was 10%. Way less than 10% of the nation, I'd say it's way less than 5%, is even awake to even acknowledging that something is going on with the lines in the sky. Okay? And those 5%, they need to wake up another 5% who wakes up another 5% who wakes up another 5%, and they need to not be writing their politicians. Not one
not
letter.
Be writing, well, I'm sorry, but I'm going to, and I'm going to encourage other people to, too. And I'm going to start going to city council meetings, and I'm going to start going to board meetings, county board meetings, and no, we can't get to the federal government.
City council meetings, now that's different, okay? Now, if you're going into the city council meetings and you're filming it and you're taking that video and putting it online for the world to see so that the youth can get involved, like, Evelyn, what I want to put out there is this generational gap, okay? I hosted the first annual Global Chemtrail Summit in Vancouver, Canada. The house was packed, but everybody was 60-plus. It pissed me off. I had targeted and advertised to youth-oriented magazines. I had passed out flyers on the beach. I'm Facebook like fucking crazy, if anybody's noticed. It's nuts, okay? No youth showed up. There was like 5 people in their 20s, 5 people in their 30s, and another 300 people all in their 60s, 70s. And it was ridiculous, 80s. And they were awake, and they were like active because they'd seen the sky long enough to know something was up. So now it's my mission to get the youth involved, okay? And the youth knows that their vote doesn't matter. The youth need short films. The youth need memes. They need little flyers. They need one-on-one interaction. They need all these like things all at once. But it's not writing the politician, you know, it's getting the youth involved, because what they're doing is they're targeting generations. Okay, so once one generation is like, I'll just write my politician, da 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 da, then you got a whole other generation. No offense. Then you've got a whole other generation that's just been like staring at their phone for the whole time, and their phone's been telling them not even to look up at the sky. Okay, and that last generation that should have been preaching to their kids and getting the youth involved and telling them, hey, I went to the first annual Global Chemtrail Summit. I can't believe the youth wasn't there. The next one needs to be youth. Like, where are they? That's why it's going to be a big concert in Portland. That's why it's going to be a big, big, big festival concert. Like, we're hardly going to have speakers because the kids got to get involved. You know? The next generation are the ones that they're targeting. They're smart.
Well, when you were
targeting at a generational level, okay?
When you were targeting these young people, did you take into consideration mind control, how you can't reach young people? Because they're mind controlled. I mean,
into consideration mind control and how I can't reach the youth.
Right.
Yes, slightly. But what am I going to do? Just give up on them?
No.
I mean, I've done grassroots stuff on the street, and I'll do 100 people, and then on the 101, finally, they like will stop and listen, and they'll go home and they'll tell someone, and I've made a difference. Like, what am I going to do? But yeah, half of them, I've gone to universities where none of them want to hear anything about anything because, yeah, they are brainwashed, and, yeah, there is mind control. I mean, there's a mind control device in Australia that's 500 miles wide, and each pillar, which there's like a dozen of them, is taller than the Empire State Building. They're creating electromagnetic frequencies, and they have directed energy weaponry via cell towers and all this shit all over the place. But what am I going to do? Give up and be like, oh no, everyone's brainwashed. I must conform. No, I got to get the youth involved. I have to get the youth involved. That's my mission. That's all that we can do, because it's an attack generationally. okay, we can transition to vaccines now because my generation got under 10 vaccines. I looked it up last night. This generation gets 30 plus. And these new ones have all this different stuff in it. They have another human DNA in them. It has mercury, thimerosal. It's got this, I don't know, we talked about this on the last time, about the GCMAF and the NAGLAs, but it's got the NAGLAs in it, you know?
Right, talk about that a little bit more, because I want people to understand why these holistic doctors were murdered.
Yeah,
how many were murdered now?
Next film that I'm going to be working on. So these holistic doctors have been murdered for a reason. Do you want me to talk about it?
Yeah. How many, do you know offhand now how many we're up to now? That
42 have been murdered since August.
Isn't it?
So in about a year, 42.
Right. Explain what they found. Explain what they found. Why they're murdered.
Pardon me?
Explain what those doctors found out, why they murdered them.
Okay, well, let me first tell that these are, the police are saying that these deaths are suicides. But they're very, very peculiar instances. A recent one a couple months ago was a doctor in the UK. He was beaten to death hanging upside down in a rubber suit from a tree. A tree upside down, beaten to death in a rubber suit. And they claimed it was a suicide. But he was, again, another one of these people who possessed this information, was spreading this knowledge about these recent vaccines. Over the past couple of decades at least, but especially recently, all the vaccines who have this chemical in them by the name of NAGLAs. NAGLAs. NAGLASE. And see, this is basically, I believe it's a byproduct of how they make and culture the small bit of whatever they're putting inside of you to protect you from it. You know, that's the logic, right? So they breed that thing, right? And they breed it in an embryo along with some human DNA of some random person, not you. Okay?
Right.
And they throw in these preservatives, like they claim are preservatives, thimerosal, which is mercury. And in there is NAGLAs, right? And this gets in your body, and once the NAGLAs is in your body, it stays in your body. And these infants, well, by the time you're 4 years old, you've had 30-plus injections. By the time you're 4 years old nowadays, you've had 30-plus injections if you've gone by the CDC's recommended, quote-unquote, where in some states they'll jail you if you don't go by their recommended. So it's basically their forced. So their forced vaccination program, their schedule. If you go by their forced vaccination schedule, after 4 years, you've had 30 injections, okay? And when you go by their forced vaccination schedule, let's note that you're doing your MMR, your measles, mumps, and rubella. You're getting that nice and early, between 6 months and 1.5 years, okay? If you get that after 1.5 years, your autism rate, prevalence significantly plummets. So basically, if you just hold off on their recommended MMR schedule and you wait for your toddler to be 2 years old, so that they can handle the measles, mumps, and rubella three-way vaccination. Okay, it's three things in one shot. The only one that's like this. Measles, mumps, and rubella. All in there together with someone else's DNA, some NAGLAs, the mercury. So if you wait till your toddler's 2 instead of 6 months, then guess what? Your toddler might not have an adverse vaccine reaction, a vaccine injury. Then there's vaccine courts and all this stuff. People don't know about vaccine courts. Look that up. That stuff is crazy. So either way, where was I? Okay, so NAGLAs. Okay, see, I get off track with that autism stuff. We have to, if I run out of time,
so
I want to have
the doctors that got murdered, they knew about this.
So these doctors, what they knew, like whatever, the autism thing, that's a side effect,
Right.
So that's not like, it's pretty provable, but like they're pushing it and no one's listening. Like watch the movie Vax. Like you can't deny the data. That Vax is touring. I saw it was just in Compton. I saw it just recently.
Well, did you get to see it?
So check it out. You've got these doctors, and it all started in Florida. It all started in Florida last summer. And in Florida last summer, over a dozen doctors ended up mysteriously killed by, you know, multiple bullets in the back of the head and all these mysterious suicides, quote unquote. And what happens is these doctors start coming out publicly and saying that they're, based on these studies and research that they've done, that there is something in the vaccine called NAGLase. And once it gets in your body, it stays there. So once you're four and you've had your 30 shots, you've got NAGLase in your body, lots of it, and it stays there. What it does over time is it prohibits your immune system from functioning, basically. It prohibits your immune system from producing this macrophage called GCMAF. Okay, look it up. GCMAF. It stands for some macrophage medical complexity that's basically these big chompers, like these big Pac-Man chompers that go through your body, like your immune system, and chomp away anything bad. Bacteria, viruses, cells that are duplicating all weird and prone to evolving into cancer. It's the engine under the hood of your immune system. Okay? So it's critical. It's critical, critical, critical stuff. So basically, right, they learned that you can either reintroduce the GCMAF back into your body, because by the time you're in your late 20s or early 30s, your body doesn't have enough of it to function. So if you get a virus, your body can't really activate a good enough response, an adequate response. So the virus can take hold really easily. So you can get cancer at a young age. You can get a really chronic herpes infection or something. Or guess what? If you get chickenpox when you're older, your immune system can't handle it. Okay? So if you introduce GCMAF back into your body via, you can culture it and eat it via yogurt, I've learned, or you can take it intravenously. So you can reintroduce the GCMAF back in your body and build it levels back up to get your immune system functioning, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. But either way, the doctors were exposing that the NAGLase was interacting with the GCMAF, and that they either needed to take the NAGLase out of the vaccine or introduce the GCMAF back into the bodies, into the people, okay? And it would cure cancer. It would literally cure cancer. We would never have cancer. We wouldn't have to worry about viral infections or, like, all the... It'd be, like... I mean, it's a massive medical discovery. So the dozen doctors who first were yapping about it, they got off immediately, all in the same, like, couple weeks. And then since then, the knowledge has been systematically eliminated, and then I believe we're at about 42 doctors that haven't looked recently. They end up killing a doctor or two or a doctor's family every, like, couple weeks. So I'm looking to make a film about that as well after I push this Frankenskies film on chemtrails, make some more friends, you know what I mean? And then... just keep exposing truth. But I really want to make these films short and sweet and get the youth involved. Like, that's why I'm doing the film. You know, I've got to have a trailer that really gets the youth excited. It's going to be a minute long. You know how the attention span of the youth is hardly even that. So it's like the memes. Like, I push out memes all day long. Sorry, Facebook people. Like, I'm casting a big old net. I'm trying to get as many like-minded people on board to spread as much truth as we can to get the youth involved, because there is an obvious attack on the next generation, and we can't stand idle. We have to awaken the next generation and the next generation and the next until our last breath. You know what I mean?
I wanted to tell people I ran across this. I had wrote an article several years ago now. I was writing about the Amish people that there's no autism among the Amish people. And I was writing about, because the CDC had said they couldn't do a test with no vaccinated kids against vaccinated kids, because they claimed they couldn't find unvaccinated kids. Well, then Dan Albstead went in and investigated the Amish communities, and there was no autism. He found, and I think he went to Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Illinois, and even interviewed the doctors that the Amish people go to. And there was no autism. He found two cases of autism among all the Amish people, and both of those kids had been adopted from Canada and had vaccines, and that was it. And there was another health practice in Chicago that had a bunch of offices around Chicago, and I forget if it was like 30 or 40,000 babies had been born there over a period of like 30 years or whatever, and they didn't vaccinate. Same thing, no autism among those kids that weren't vaccinated. So, I mean, you know, there is people unvaccinated for them to do these studies, and like I said, Dan Elmstead did it, and there is no autism. But anyhow, what he also found out was that doctors, these pediatricians that make money off these vaccines, between 50 and 80% of their income comes from giving vaccines. Okay, now there's a new story out about, and I want to read it to people, that doctors now get a bounty from Blue Cross Blue Shield, pays your doctor a $40,000 bonus for fully vaccinating 100 patients under the age of 2. If your doctor manages to fully vaccinate 200 patients, that bonus jumps to $80,000. But here's the catch. Under Blue Cross Blue Shield's rules, pediatricians lose the whole bonus unless at least 63% of the patients, that'd be kids, are fully vaccinated, and that includes the flu vaccine. So here they are giving that flu vaccine full of mercury to little kids and infants, pregnant women. So anyways, so it's not just $400 on your child's head, it could be the whole bonus. To your doctor, your decision to vaccinate your child might be worth $40,000 or much more, depending on the size of her practice. Yeah, so now they're giving this, I mean, before it was 50 to 80% of their income came from giving vaccines. Now they're giving these bonus, Blue Cross Blue Shield, $40,000 a year for 100 kids under 2 vaccinated, fully vaccinated.
With no transparency at all. Sorry to interrupt you. People go into those doctor's offices, and they have no idea that they're walking into a car dealership, a used car dealership.
Right, exactly. You know, and so, you know, the pharmaceutical industry, what it has done, it has, you know, dished out its money among these practitioners and stuff so much that, and then, of course, we all know how they bribe them, you know, give seminars and pay these doctors to go to them, and the seminar lasts an hour, and the rest of the weekend they're off to the Olympics or anything else that's going on, and the drug companies will pay for all this. And so, you know, they've made it so profitable, pushing their money around all these doctors. And of course, people have to think about this. Why are drugs so high priced? Because this is part of it. All the money they push around all these doctors and everything, that gets tacked onto the price, and of course the advertising, you know, on TV. But they've really got, this is the only country, this in New Zealand, that pharmaceutical companies can advertise their drugs on TV. And so here, now they're even advertising the vaccines. A friend was just telling me the other day that they were out there pushing that Gardasil vaccine on ads. And see, I don't watch TV, so I don't see any of this.
Yeah, but I could talk about the Gardasil vaccine for a while. They're pushing it to younger and younger and younger.
That Gardasil vaccine, it's killing people. Yeah, it's killing girls. And I mean, in the side effects from it, too, you can talk about that, are horrible, too. But girls are dying and going into menopause at 11, 12 years old, it's messing up the reproductive system so bad. But go ahead and tell us about the Gardasil, because you've probably been investigating that more than I have. But, yeah, they're pushing that Gardasil
vaccine. Okay. Well, I do know a lot about the Gardasil, but I do also want to talk about, you mentioned New Zealand, and you talked about the monetization of pushing vaccines, which is
interesting.
Go ahead.
And pharmaceutical drugs, all prescription drugs, and vaccines.
Oh, yeah, and pharmaceuticals. I mean, I heard a headline just the other day about the millions of the elderly in the United States that were prescribed opiates. I wanted to mention an article that I found just the other day about Australia. So you mentioned New Zealand, and you mentioned how money is then affecting the medical industry, which it never should.
I said that they advertise on TV in New Zealand, the drug companies. I don't know about, you know, what their medical profession is like. I'll never go to another doctor in this country in my life for nothing. But go ahead and tell us about what's going on in New Zealand.
So New Zealand and Australia have been on a steady push, which has been escalated exponentially over recent months to vaccinate. It seems to have corresponded with the mandatory vaccinations in the United States. And what they have managed to do, because I don't know if Australians just really don't stick up for themselves or what, but they claimed that they needed to push their immunization rate to 95%, and they were worried about the rates only being at 93%, which is extremely high. And right. So there's social welfare programs over there, all sorts of, it's more of a socialist country, and there's people who were getting social welfare, and they basically literally took $15,000 out of each person's pocket. So they said, we're gonna take $15,000 from you if you don't get vaccinated. And they were able to push it up nationwide another couple percentage points and got another 6,000 people vaccinated by basically bribing them, but not even bribing them, by threatening to take away money from them that they got, like, basically out of their pension or their, like, social welfare program. So that it's a global agenda. But the Gardasil, so the systematic attack on the youth continues. And it is especially obvious and prevalent in the attack on the women. Okay? Which makes sense. The women have the children. So if you can attack the women, then the next generation after those attacked women will be a dumbed down version of the next, you know, it's whatever they want to do if it's focused on the women. So they've got even you've got pregnant women trusting Obama, going in and being like, Obama wants to protect my fetus from the Zika virus. Inject me with whatever Obama and Bill Gates came up with before the Zika virus even existed. Okay.
Right.
You've got blind cognitive dissonance, people accepting what they're being told through Yahoo News and going and getting big fat needles stuck in their fetus. It's insanity. So, like, we really need to raise this awareness, okay? You know, it's just wild. So that whole Zika virus, that's just insane. So the Gardasil, okay?
Right.
So how else do they ever push anything around? And, you know, it's through fear, right? If you're completely awake and you're watching the news, it's like fear, fear, fear. And then once they've got your brainwave into a state of fear, then they're like, now think this. You know, it's pretty, like, the television as a manipulative device is actually quite intriguing if you really look into it and you're awake to watch what's really going on. But fear, okay? So you've got girls coming into puberty and it's like, hey, you're going to be sexually active. But guess what? Everybody's got this fat STD. And it's going to give you cancer, and you're going to die from cancer, cervical cancer. I mean, come on. You're 16 years old. You're becoming sexually active. Okay?
But don't they try to give them to them at 9 or 11 years old?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're pushing on them at even earlier ages. I was getting there. But I'm just saying, it's systematic. So first they go for the older ones because they know they can get to the younger ones easier. The first, what they did a few years ago, is they systematically went in to the elementary schools, and they say, no, you don't have to be 18 to consent. You can be 17. And then now they're pushing it down even lower to basically to become an adult. And everyone in high school was like, some people get out of high school and they just turned 18, you know, and then they can speak for themselves and get their Gardasil shots. They had to get the kids while they were in high school. So they changed the consenting age. And then they go in and they just push it and tell them that they're going to get cervical cancer and that they're going to have an STD, and the girls, they buy it, right? But then guess what? Our soon-to-be vice president, I really hope not, but either way, whatever this guy, whatever his name is, he's running with Hillary
Kane?
Clinton.
Is that Kane?
What's his name?
Is it Kane?
Yeah, I don't know.
The vice president candidate. But what about him?
Yeah, the vice president, the ex-Virginia governor, or the Virginia governor from on Hillary's side or whatever. But this guy, he was pushing it, his sixth graders. Yeah, they're getting these kids so young, and through fear and manipulation, social programming, and all these other, and they're literally rewriting the textbooks. So like, you look up chemtrails and it's like they're ice crystals, and you know, and people are like, oh, no big deal, they're there the whole time. And you look at vaccines and they're like, saves you from this, even though there's like so many. I mean, even the polio vaccine creator testified that it was all a big sham.
Yeah.
A means of introducing cancer to the public. But yeah, so the if you look at the death rate, the actual death rate of cervical cancer versus the actual death rate of the Gardasil shot. Okay.
Right.
It's staggering. Right. It's staggering. I mean, like, if you have any wits about you, you should literally be willing to take a fight with cancer. You know what I mean? If I told you, I could come up with any metaphor, but literally you've got 100 times more chance of dying from the vaccine, which is dying right there on the spot, mind you.
Right.
Then if you end up with this crazy cervical cancer from your STD, which the link from HPV, the papillomavirus, to cervical cancer, I'm not 100% that is even been proven. 100%. I mean, is that even really been proven? You know what I mean? They run with these things and go with this fear-mongering, and people get these facts in their head, and literally, I would not be one doubt, even, you know, I highly doubt that it's even related. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The people being injured by this Gardasil vaccine is just, the numbers are just outrageous. And the thing is, I have never, ever heard of a teenage girl having cervical cancer. And they said when they tested that vaccine, it was only good for 5 years or something like this. So they're giving it to 9-year-old girls. It's utterly ridiculous. I mean, this is just so profit-driven, poisoning our children with these vaccines. It's all for profit, and people won't rise up against this. I mean, look at out there in California now. Look at the media, how they hide everything so much. I mean, this should be headline news, these girls dying of this cervical cancer vaccine. But you never hear about it on mainstream media. You never hear about that.
Oh, yeah. No, it just goes to vaccine courts, and then it just gets squashed or somebody gets paid off, but nothing really ever comes of anything. Like, these vaccines
right, how long it takes to go through that vaccine court, and then you probably won't get nothing anyhow. And no, it's not regular court rules. I mean, the discovery and things like this is not like in regular courts. So, I mean, it's just rigged going in. And so, I mean, look at all these people with autistic kids. You know, the Supreme Court ruled against them, and that's the end of it. And so, I mean, I don't know how many families have had to give up their homes and everything else to come up with money to care for these kids, and this is a lifelong, you know, disease. And I don't know, people, the mainstream media is so sick and tied into this, hiding all this stuff, you know, that's who needs to be sued, is the mainstream media for putting out all these lies and distorting all this information.
They sensationalize things that aren't true, and the things that are true, they don't even bring light to. So I've got an instance that is part of my life where I realized that it's not just limited to the vaccines, but the pharmaceutical industry is so predatory, and it's they're fear mongers just the same, but they are so bad. Like, I know you've done your research on the SSRIs and the antidepressants and stuff, but have you ever heard of ciprofloxacin?
Cipro what?
Ciprofloxacin. It's one of the main, and I think it's the second leading antibiotic in the country. Cipro.
I wrote about it years ago.
P-R-O.
I wrote about it years ago, but I don't remember now.
Okay. I just want to share my story because it's not just limited. I want people listening and people sharing with their friends and family when you're seeing the change that you want to see in the world and creating the biggest ripple that you can and telling people these truths, okay? Mm-hmm. Antidepressants are so bad for you. I mean, everyone has to know that. But what I did is I was in the doctor's office for something that was not necessary. I did not need antibiotics because at all. Okay.
Right.
I was in the doctor's office for a completely unrelated issue, and they gave me antibiotics because they are, like you said, they're paid to push them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I even said to them, I said, "But I don't have an infection. I don't need it. I don't need that. You know." And my family was like, "Oh, just listen to the doctor." But I was like, "But that's not even why. You know, it wasn't even why I was in there." Like he was like, "Here, take the antidepressants." I was like, "No." He's like, "Okay, well then take the antibiotics." I'm like, "What the fuck is going on?" Right. So I end up taking these antibiotics, ciprofloxacin, one of the biggest. It's the second. I mean, antibiotics get pushed all day long. You go to the doctor's office, here's some antibiotics. Number two antibiotics.
Right.
Okay. I took these pills for one day. I was supposed to take them for a month. I was supposed to take three a day for a month. I took three of the pills for a day. Guess what happened?
What?
I was paralyzed the next day.
Really?
I had tendon rupture in my ankles, in my knees, in my wrist, in my jaw, in my every joint. Okay?
Man.
Every joint had tendon rupture and it was jelly and I was paralyzed for a month and it was horrible. Okay? And then you know what happened when I went to the doctor? They tried to give me some other pill and I looked up the pill side effects and I swear to God it was tendon rupture. They were giving me another effing pill. Sorry, I've cursed a couple times in the show. I got a little aggro, but like they gave me another pill that literally, like, people were blogging, like, don't take this pill. It gives you tendon rupture. Or my tendon rupture. So I do some research, which I should have done before, but I wasn't completely, like, I was trusting the system. You know what I mean? I did my research and come to find out there's a website, ciproispoison.com.
Right.
And it's all these accounts of people that had immediate onset or even not. It's something that gets in your DNA, and it can be a ticking time bomb. Where here you are, a year later, walking down the street, and boom, you're paralyzed. For life! For life!
Right.
Because of an antibiotic that you took that they promised you was fine. Like, I mean, like, the research on this stuff is out of control. And then, like, I'm, like, you know, so upset and talking to my doctor. My doctor's, you know, giving me, you know, the same BS, right? And I go and I talk to my pharmacist, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Waddling in after a couple of weeks with, like, a cane, you know?
Right.
And my pharmacist was like, "Yeah, man, it happened to my wife. Same thing. It happens to people. Like, it happens more often than you think." And I was like, "Oh, man, did she recover?" And he said, "Yeah." And so I just gave it some time, and I think I've recovered 100%. But, and that's great.
How long were you sick from that antibiotic? How long were you sick from taking that antibiotic?
A month from three pills.
Yeah.
30 days. And after that, I had to recover. After that, I had to, like, actually recover from it. But I was, like, I was ill, and I had tendon rupture from an antibiotic. And if you look at it online, like, there's a lot of instances of people being, like, really injured really bad. And the doctors literally, like, you have no one. Like, what do? You can't sue anybody. You can't do anything. It's crazy.
No.
Like, people die and nothing gets resolved. Like, the amount of people that actually get paid off for being vaccine injured, which is crazy because, like, autism is a vaccine injury, and some people have gotten paid off, like Italian courts and whatnot, but actually
other
the party
countries.
Line is that it's a genetic disorder. But the percentage of people that actually get cut a big fat check is so small, it's so negligible that it's not even, it's disgusting.
Right. And journalists have went in and investigated there, and it shows that they did pay for some autism, but there again, they don't advertise that, you know. And they went into the database and found that they did pay for some autism, but they don't ever say that. They kept coming out that it absolutely vaccines do not cause autism, Well, that is
pure. Sometimes they have to pay somebody off because there's so many cases of immediate onset. I mean, how can you deny immediate onset when you can't even take them home from the doctor's office?
Well, exactly.
You know?
Yeah. You know, another thing I wanted to talk about, too, is the GMO foods. And the thing that I've found is important to share with people is, you know, people think, especially older people, you know, we think, well, we've been around all this time, this food that they're selling us and stuff, it didn't hurt us. You know, it's not going to hurt us now. What people don't understand is GMO foods have only been around since the 90s. You know, all these things that are happening to us and all these drugs that they've, and vaccines and stuff, this is in the last, you know, 20, 30 years that this stuff has all come out. So that's why it's affecting people. You know,
sorry to interject. So I like to make things as simple as possible with every topic, because that's one thing that the media and those in control, they like to just throw a lot at you and confuse you, and then, of course, hit you with these frequencies or something, and then you can't make up your mind, you know? And if you can't make up your mind, you can't make a decision, you can't take a stance, you can't take a stand, you can't be somebody, you know? So I like to make it simple so people can actually just get to the brass tacks of things, okay? And it's easy to kind of just find something that you can maybe, like a good bullet point that people can take home, right? And for the older generation, they think genetic modification has been going on for quite some time, which it has. But it's been through different means, such as selective breeding. Okay, so like the Incans in South America, in Peru, I believe, right? They're on the slopes of the Andes Mountains, and the climate and microclimates are all wild, and they realized that these potatoes grew really well there. But potatoes were poisonous back then. Okay, we're talking a long time ago. Potatoes were totally poisonous. So they selectively bred, and they took the least poisonous with the least poisonous with the least poisonous, and bred them together, and got sick until finally they had bred some that didn't have any poison, and then they kept those seeds, and then they, like, literally bred out through, it's called selective breeding, right? And you can steer genetics towards, like, having purple cauliflower or whatever just through selective breeding. So that's,
correct.
A modification of genetics, you know, and then people splice things together, and you can graft trees, and there's these things that people have done for eons, really, you know, forever.
Right, but Monsanto's poisoning us with their GMO.
But what Monsanto does, they go in a DNA level, and they make something have poison inside of it, okay? So, for instance, their BT corn is actually labeled a pesticide. So what they've been able to do, okay, so what I would tell, like, people, if I'm trying to convince them in a short statement about what GMO is, why it's so bad.
We're going to run out of time here any second.
Okay.
When the music starts.
It's been, the DNA's been twisted to make it poisonous for bugs to bite. Like, it's in there, it's all throughout poison, you know, and that's poison for you, too. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, yes. Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. We've got to get the word out, and I appreciate all the hard work you're doing, and I really look forward to your movie coming out. And make sure you send us the trailer.
I will.
Okay, well, thank you, Matt, and I hope you learned some things this week, people, and tune in next week, and we'll have another guest. Thank you. Bye.